He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday, the midweek edition, April 17th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Barry Kite he'll be back on Friday. He's down here with me in Florida, and he's handling some of the appointments while I'm doing the live radio show. The show must go on, as they say. We got a little bit of a bump in the market today. The Dow is up 93 points to 37,892. The NASDAQ, however, is only up a couple to 15,870. We had a soft earnings report from one of the AI stocks that we'll talk about here in a moment. The S&P is up 9 to 5,060. Small caps are having a pretty good day. They're up 0.5%. Crude oil is down 82 cents, 84.54. There was obviously a war premium built into oil prior to the weekend, which has come out of oil here so far this week. Gold is flat at 2,407. Silver's up 41 cents to 28.79. The 10-year backing off 3 basis points today to 4.63 after we didn't get much from Fed Chairman Powell yesterday, and Bitcoin is down 475 to 62,182. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, broadcasting live from Sarasota. Beautiful Sarasota. Man, we lucked out on the weather here this week. It's absolutely gorgeous down here. If you can see through all the high-rises, skyscrapers, condo building, not skyscrapers, but condo buildings, which a few have gone up since last year when I was here, and many have gone up over the decade, I guess, that I've been coming down here. A lot of things going on here in the Sarasota area. All right, well, let's take a look. We had yesterday kind of a comeback in the market towards the end of the day, and we did finish up. The Dow was up 64. But the NASDAQ has kind of cooled off here. Interest rates are hurting the NASDAQ right now. That's probably one of the biggest issues. And then, of course, we've got earnings that will be coming in hot and heavy starting next week on the tech stocks. We have one big tech stock reporting today that we'll be talking about here a little bit later. And, of course, yesterday we had a speech by Chairman Powell. You know, it's really interesting because I knew I had it on my calendar, 1:15 p.m. Powell will be speaking. And I had my market watch on my phone on during that point in time, and you could just see the market start boop, 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 getting really crazy as he spoke. Basically, trading on every syllable that came out of his mouth. And at the end, we didn't get much. We didn't get anything, in fact. We got no real hope for a rate cut here anytime soon, maybe later this year. So he was not as dovish as about a month ago when he set the market on fire, saying, yeah, you can still expect 3 rate hikes. But I would just say this. It's an election year. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Powell to cut rates before the election. I think, and he does not want to make it look like he's cutting rates just because there's an election. And he probably kind of, downplayed that yesterday a little bit, kept it on that's what he's got up his sleeve, I think. So, let's just say September, somewhere in there, We'll probably get a rate cut and then maybe one in October. And 50 basis points as we go into the voting booth on the first Tuesday in November. But Powell was a little hawkish yesterday. But the market is okay. It's okay today. We're going to get earnings today from Abbott Labs. We're going to get Kinder Morgan. We've already got ASM Lithography. That's one we'll go into a little bit of detail on. We're going to get Alcoa, Crown Castle, Las Vegas Sands. We already got U.S. Bank Corp. We'll talk about that. Travelers. And then, of course, tomorrow will be Netflix. That's the big one tomorrow. And Taiwan Semiconductor. And on Friday, I think the biggest ones will be American Express and maybe Schlumberger to some extent. And then we'll have a week, a little over a week, under our belt in the earnings season. We are just at the beginning of that earnings season. And as of last Friday, with what we've had come in so far, we're looking for about a 1% increase over the same quarter last year. But really the influential stocks, the ones that really move the needle, have not reported yet. And I think we'll probably, you know, maybe get a 4 or 5% increase by the time we're all done over this time last year. We're not seeing any major warnings. We're not hearing that there's a recession on the horizon. We're not seeing any major downgrades or any warnings out there right now. And so earnings season is just okay. There's not enough really not a big enough sample to really set any kind of a real good forecast right now for this earnings season. Around the world, inflation continues to ease. The euro area inflation eases to 2.4%. And I think if we were at 2.4%, we're not there yet. We're at 3.2, 3.5, somewhere in that neighborhood. If we were down at 2.4 like the euro area, I think there'd be a lot more talk of a rate cut. And obviously we did get that talk yesterday from Christine Lagarde at the ECB that they're looking forward to a rate cut soon. Why? Well, I mean, their inflation is eased to 2.4%. So if we use that as a little bit of a clue when our inflation starts getting down into the mid-2s, then we can probably start talking rate cut. But we're still in the low 3s right now, as is the UK. It's funny, we pretty much track the UK as far as inflation goes. Their only issue is they don't have the kind of energy supply that we have here in the U.S. They have to bring in most of their energy. They had a sticky part of their inflation picture, especially when it came to liquid natural gas, and it's been very stubborn to bring their inflation down. But they're down to 3.2%. They're about the same place we are. And just judging by, you know, Europe, it looks like we got to get down into the mid-2s. That's what we need to look for before we get a rate cut. And so we've got, you know, some work to do yet, several months, I would think. Now, there's always, ever since I've been in the market as a money manager, there's always something that the market is really keyed in on, okay? Over the years, I can remember the market was really keyed in on commodity prices back when China was booming, even cement prices. I remember when one of the hottest stocks in the market was a company that made rebar for cement reinforcement because of all the building boom. And I remember when the commodities were hot and Caterpillar and the people that made the mining equipment. So it ebbs and flows in different things. I can also remember a time when we were totally keyed in on Italian and Greek bonds. Do you remember that? They actually called them the pigs. Portugal, Italy, and Greece, and Spain We looked at their bond yields every day because the market was just trading off of those bond yields. That was where it was taking its cue. Well, what is it right now? The speeches by the members of the Fed. That's really what is true. As I said yesterday, I was watching just the index when Powell began his speech at 1:15. I had a little alarm go off on my phone, and I started watching the market, and I just saw it, a very quiet market, all of a sudden get very noisy. Why? Because Powell was speaking. Well, later today, two of them are speaking, but tonight after the market closed, Mester speaks, Bowman speaks. We're not watching Greek bonds anymore. We're watching the speeches by the Fed. When are we going to get our next rate cut? We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, our next road trip, apparently I gave out the wrong dates there for Minnesota. It's May 21st, 22nd, 23rd. That is a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. It takes about 3 days to get through all the appointments. And I enjoy every single one of them. It's one of my favorite things to do is to get out on the road and to meet the folks. And, of course, Minnesota, that's always a fun trip because the hotel that we stay at is attached to the Mall of America. And that's always a fun place to go. They got a Lego store there that's just unbelievable. I got to be real careful there not to buy one of those 27,000-piece Titanic Legos that I get to put together with my God, what a job that is. And then, you know, like 2 or 3 days later, they've got it all torn apart. And what happened to the frozen castle? Anyways, that will be May 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. I can't help but notice Bitcoin today down 1,500 to 61,496 after being at 73,000. Not that long ago, the halving event, I hate to be, I don't want to, I know a lot of people own Bitcoin, but it's being halved without being halved here. Not quite halved. It'd have to go down to 36,000, but it's under heavy pressure right now is Bitcoin. The bond market's been under heavy pressure, 4.63% on the interest rates. But here's the big thing, I am still positive on the market. And, in fact, I had one person we met with. She says, you're one of the more positive people on the market that I've heard. Well, look, I just go, there's two things. There's only three things, really, that really determine. You can throw you can shoot every arrow and throw every dart you want at the market. And I hear them all, right? And the dollar, the spending, the politics, the world, blah, blah, blah. The fact of the matter is the S&P has gone from 660 to 5,500 since 2009 because earnings have been going up. And what's it take for earnings to go up? The only year we had a drop in earnings was the COVID year, which you can write off as an extraordinary event. And as long as those earnings keep going up, but what is it that drives earnings higher and higher? It's the economy, the underlying economy, the consumer, companies keeping their cost in line, and companies that innovate and bring new products to market. So, you know, it reinforces my positiveness on the market when I see today's news that the International Monetary Fund is boosting 2024 global growth outlook. Why? Because the U.S. economy powers on. And in reality, the economy pretty much is its own animal, okay? the president, the Congress, they affect it somewhat. But for the most part, it has a life of its own. And it's all about consumer sentiment and the demand and the jobs market, etc. And you just can't really find any holes appearing yet in the U.S. economy. Inflation would probably be the biggest one, because it does impact a lot of industries. A higher interest rate affects the automobile industry. It affects the banking industry. It really affects the real estate industry. So there are some holes in the overall economy. But as far as growth, you know, we continue to grow. And as long as the economy continues to grow, the earnings continue to grow, and the stock market continues to follow along. Where will the first holes in the economy begin to show up? Well, you know, if the inflation doesn't start getting down under 3, that would be a bit of a problem. But really, I think the jobs market is going to be the key indicator going forward. The story I hear much more often than not is they can't find enough workers, okay? It's not that there's no jobs. They can't find jobs. They can't find workers to fill the jobs. And so that continues to power the U.S. economy. So I have to remain optimistic on the market based on earnings. Now it comes down to the multiple of the earnings, the growth of the earnings, whether they're going down, up. But I think the market's going to continue to go higher because we have a strong economy and we have growing earnings. There's the key right there. And today the International Monetary Fund basically, you know, reinforcing what I believe to be true, that the U.S. economy powers on for now. Now, there will be a time we will have another recession. We will have another huge pullback. And we'll have another bear market at some point in time. But the U.S. economy continues to power on. Now, China's a little bit of a problem. We keep hearing kind of a mixed results coming out of China. And that would also help if China could start growing their economy. Tariffs are back in the news. Okay, they weren't very popular. It wasn't very popular, and President Trump took a lot of shots over the tariffs that he put on Chinese goods. Well, the Biden administration calls for tripling China tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. Why? Because China obviously has been dumping cheap materials onto the market, you know, which is destroys the price. They do it with solar panels. They do it with aluminum. They do it with steel. And now they're threatening to do it with their electric vehicles. And, of course, Elon Musk has warned about how they could crush the U.S. automobile industry if that were to happen. So, anyways, tariffs are back in the news. Now, here's the problem. Once you start on our side putting tariffs on their stuff, they retaliate on their side putting tariffs on our stuff. So usually it kind of escalates, you know, just like the conflict in the Middle East. Something happens and another one retaliates, and then they keep upping the game, and we continue to be in a very cold war versus China. Not a very cold war. It's a cold war taking place, and we have to worry a little bit about beginning this tariff retaliation escalation. But right now, you've got Biden threatening to triple. They call for tripling China tariffs. So that's a warning shot across the bow, and then the Biden administration will wait to see what China does. Will they stop dropping all this cheap product on the market, or will they take the hint and back off a little bit? Or will they turn around and say, well, we're going to up the game. I'll see your raise of 3 points, and I'll raise you by 8. We're going to double the tariffs on Apple and Tesla and Caterpillar and everybody else. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And the Dow's up 40, the Nasdaq's down 16. We don't have a lot of a catalyst in the market today after the close of the market. Two of the Fed will speak. We did have, we'll get to that in a minute here, some earnings reports here this morning. Things really start to heat up next week as it, you know, we get Tesla and some of the early tech stocks, Microsoft, et cetera, reporting. Now, the other big issue we have in the market right now, besides interest rates and inflation, which has been stubborn to go away, we need to get it under 3, is obviously what's going on in the Middle East. And there were a couple of big developments today. We still don't know, but Iran has decided upon what kind of attack they're going to make in response to Iran's attack on them. We don't know if it's going to be a cyber hack, if it's going to be attack on their refinery. We don't know what it's going to be. But they have decided on what it's going to be. They haven't decided on when it's going to take place, obviously. You don't really want to tell people when it's going to take place. And the other thing that happened, you had 18 people today wounded in the Galilee region where they hit a Bedouin community center. 18 people were hurt in that city, and Hezbollah is the other shoe that's going to drop at some point in time. And, of course, cleaning out the rest of the Hamas down in the south of Gaza. So, anyways, Wells Fargo is suggesting that things, there's going to be an upswing in volatility. Thank you. More upswing in volatility in the equity and commodities market should the latest and dangerous Middle East conflict escalate. Which it almost seems like that's a sure thing, that it's going to escalate. So Wells Fargo is giving you 3 moves to consider making in your portfolios. Number 1, rebalance. Investors should consider rebalancing risk to target levels. In other words, trim your exposure to the information technology or the tech sector, AI, etc. Reduce your exposure there a little bit, which we have been doing a little bit, and moving it more into some of the more of Wells Fargo's favored sectors right now, which would include industrials, materials, energy, and healthcare. Okay, so lower your exposure to tech. This is Wells Fargo to the industrials, materials, energy, and healthcare. Okay, prepare for likely volatility in the fixed income markets. Well, you know, an unexpected event could lead to a temporary delay in the resumption of disinflation, which we've seen here recently. You've seen that. The tension in the Middle East has driven up energy prices, and that's part of the inflation puzzle, and that's probably between energy and the labor market, those are probably the two stickiest areas of inflation right now. And then thirdly, and I agree with most of this generally, consider commodities to help diversify. Okay, and then you're talking about gold and oil and the copper and silver, etc., commodities, fertilizer, things like that. Oil stays flat as Middle East worries offset by higher for longer rates outlook. Well, that would be another critical part of the inflation puzzle. Oil has backed off. There was obviously a pretty good premium. I think we got up to 47.5. At one time right before the attack over the weekend. And now we've given up quite a bit, and we're back in that 84 area. We got up to about 87, I think, somewhere in there. But crude oil, along with interest rates, have to be watched very, very closely. Now, investing in commodities, all right, you have several choices. Gold, for instance. I prefer physical gold myself. There's a big difference between having possession of the gold or having it in a vault across the country or just owning some paper that shows you own it. I mean, that's all of the different considerations. Or owning the gold stocks, which I think is not the best way to do it. And here's one of the reasons why. Look at Barrick Gold today. Barrick Gold, well, now it's up. It was down. It plunged yesterday. It's rallying just a little bit today. But, you know, the other part of that equation for a gold producer is they got to keep finding gold. And that's not so easy. Barrick Gold plunged yesterday as their Q1 production lagged expectations. Okay? Production is how much gold they're finding. And the cost to find that gold, obviously, is a big part of that equation. But you take a look at a Barrick Gold. Let's just look it up here over the last 10 years. How a gold stock has performed, and you're going to find that it hasn't been a very good investment over the years. The symbol on Barrick Gold is gold, G-O-L-D. Okay, and if we look at the performance of gold versus the S&P 500 Barrick Gold has returned -1% per year over the last 10 years. Nothing. You know, you go back 10 years, it was about $20 a share. 10 years later, it's $17 a share. I think investing in the gold stocks is not a good way to go. Now, you have gotten a little bit of a dividend yield, about 2.4%, so you can add that into that return. Over the last 12 months, Barrick Gold is down 15%. The S&P is up 21.7%. So there you go. You're better off, in my opinion, owning the commodity itself rather than the gold stocks. Apple mulls making products in Indonesia as Tim Cook continues his Asia tour. I think Tim Cook is scared to death of producing those phones and being too dependent upon China, especially as the Cold War heats up. You know, that's he's one of the big pawns that they can use, Apple, as a bargaining chip. Well, we're going to throw tariffs on Apple. And, of course, China has also ramped up production of their own phone, the Huawei phones, to compete against Apple. So Cook's in a very tough spot right now. And he is touring. He's been to China several times recently. But obviously, he's looking for other places to diversify away and being too dependent upon the manufacture of the iPhones in China. So anyways, he also recently visited Vietnam, which is where a lot of business is going. These days, even the EVs are coming out of Vietnam. I read today that VinFast is expected to produce and deliver 100,000 electric vehicles this year, and that's also a big problem for Elon Musk with Tesla. Not only is he now competing with China, he's now competing with Vietnam. And I also heard from a client today that Tesla has opened is opening a dealership here. That's an interesting twist in one of the big malls here. They had a store inside. But now they're going to actually open a dealership, which is a totally kind of a twist and a turn there on Tesla's model. Okay, what else do we? Okay, we better get into some of these earnings because, Here's the big news I like here, and then we'll get to ASM lithography. The news on Lil, not only do you lose weight, Lilly's study on sleep apnea with their drug, Zepbound, saw a significant improvement in late-stage trials for the sleep disorder. So, you know, you're going to have another indication for their drug, not only for weight loss, not only for heart issues, but also sleep apnea. So that's good news. Lilly is up $10 a share today to $756. The one weighing on us a little bit today is ASM Lithography. It was down 6% last time I looked. Now it's down 6.82%. I'm not too worried. You know, when you have these big leading stocks like this, $360 billion company, they miss by their sales by a little bit. They're going to be pretty volatile. But all in all, I still have a pretty hefty target price on ASM Lithography, despite this pullback today, which is also impacting the NASDAQ. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about Supermicrocomputer, AMD, and then we'll take a look underneath the surface of the market. This is the Best Stocks Now show. You got to go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. We closed the quarter with the news from Lilly about the obesity therapy succeeding in late-stage trials for sleep disorder. That's just more good news for Lilly, which is one of our largest positions. Well, what about AI and the utilities market? Artificial intelligence is positioned to revamp a wide variety of segments, including the utility sector, according to the CFA Institute, which predict that AI and other digital tools will help overhaul parts of the U.S. power grid. They predict that over the next 25 years, AI and other digital strategies will be deployed to substantially reduce the cost of revamping the U.S. power grid. And supporting that thesis is the fact that the Department of Energy has committed $3 billion for AI-centric smart grid programs to help combat the complex challenges the utility sector faces, which primarily includes aged infrastructure and stricter regulations. Okay, you got to have the power to power the economy. And speaking of which, Supermicrocomputer, man, it had a big day yesterday, SMCI. And I would agree with Loop Capital here. They are upping their target price. Loop Capital raised its price target to $1,500 on SMCI, and I agree with their math. SMCI had a big day yesterday. It's a little flattish today, but they're basing a $1,500 target price on the following. They could end fiscal 26 with between 30 to 40 billion in revenue, and get this, earnings of $50 to $60 per share. What kind of growth is that? Well, let's see. They made 89 cents per share in 2018. Then they made $5.65 by 2022. This year they're expected to make $22 per share. Next year, $27 per share. And Loop Capital has them at $50 to $60 per share by the end of 2026. You just don't find many companies with growth like that, okay? And they say if you use a multiple between 25 and 30, which is pretty sound logic, That gets you to $1,500. And I think our target price is somewhere in that neighborhood. Although we go out, this is 2024, we go out to 2029 with our target price. So anyways, I'm in agreement there. Now, AMD unveiled a new chip yesterday for PCs, an AI chip for personal computers in the race against Intel and NVIDIA. And the way I judge whether or not it was big news or not is I look at the stock. And the stock has moved it has not moved the needle at all since the announcement. So, you know, look, AMD has come down quite a bit. AMD is down $50, over about 30% from its high. And it is threatening to break its support level here. It just doesn't seem like, you know, they've come up with anything big enough. But having said that, AMD is looking for 68% growth in earnings, 20% this year and 68% next year. So I would be a little slow to get panicked here and unload my AMD stock at this point in time, because I still think they are the leading PC chip maker by far. Travelers reported, does anybody care? Well, you know what? The insurance stocks have done pretty well this year. Travelers is getting clobbered. Travelers is down 8.5%. It is a member of the Dow, and that is not helping the Dow today. And let's see, the last earnings report here, United Airlines. Well, I can attest to the fact I haven't been on a plane recently that wasn't a full flight. I mean, that just, it's going to be a full flight. I don't know if we can fit all your baggage on, you know, and we can check it in for you for free. Every single flight I'm on, and boy, they open that gate and people run in there to put their baggage to get a spot for their carry-on luggage. It's crazy. So the airlines seem to be doing just fine with filling the flights. They've gotten really good at that. I haven't been on, like, where there was a one seat empty. I can't remember the last time there was an empty seat on a plane I was on. Anyways, United Airlines is up 11% today. That's a pretty good earnings report out of United Airlines. And the last one is U.S. Bank, which, you know, one of the big money center banks. The banks, I'd give them like a D for their earnings reports. U.S. Bank is down 4.8%. The best ones were Goldman Sachs and Citigroup. Those were the two best reports. The rest of them were just mediocre, blah. U.S. Bank Corp down 4.8% today after their earnings report. Now, got 1 minute here. Let's just look at the S&P 500 real quickly. See what the movers are, the movers and the shakers. See if there's anything of note. We don't have a lot of catalyst here today. The biggest loser, J.B. Hunt Trucking Company, they're having a tough time of it right now, very tough time. United Airlines is the biggest winner, up 11.2% today. American Airlines is up 3.5%. Alaska is up 2.7%. So it's the airlines that are leading the market today. And over at the NASDAQ, the biggest winner, again, American Airlines. How about that? And Google, which is, it's up 1%. Google has looked pretty good recently, I have to admit. Okay, well, you know what? We're here all day today. I predicted that we would have full days. We have full days. Tomorrow's a day where it's just going to be me handling the appointments. And I told Edie, 855-611-BEST, if we can work you in, we'll work you in before I leave on Friday morning. But I do have a pretty full day tomorrow, and, you know, we'll just figure something out. If you say, hey, you know, Gunnarsson's not going to be back here till late summer, 855-611-BEST to sit down with me tomorrow. And to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. The market's getting a little dicey here. You might need a little guidance. 2 free weeks of the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.